You know what? That's a question I wish I had a ready answer for you for it. You know, we talk about execution, and it's not just on the offensive end. It's when things are not going well for you, when momentum changes in a game. Oftentimes it goes back to your defense where you get spread out. You're not doing the same things you were doing on the defensive end. But on the offensive end, you know, still, you know, you've got to make shots, but you got to execute. You cannot turn the ball over, and if you turn the ball over, it's going to just continue to fuel that momentum. And we talk about ball security and a lot, but now it goes back when you start turning down shots, you normally things don't turn out well for you. And you know, with what, 2 minutes to go in the game, it's a tie game. And I think if you go on the road this time of year against talented teams and good teams, if you're in that position, you take it every time. But then you got to find a way to close the game out. And to do that, we need not just one guy playing well, two guys playing well. We need everybody playing well and playing their role and do what we need them to do. And we just haven't gotten it. I mean, we're all excited about Jordan Bowden, the way he played. But, you know, we'd love to see John Fulkerson play the way when Jordan wasn't playing well. Those two guys. Santi, you know, getting in foul trouble, it was a big play, you know, and him doing it 80 feet from the basket or 90 feet from the basket is just not a smart play. And that him having to sit, and we've got to handle the ball better. But you think about the turnover at half court, shouldn't happen. That shouldn't happen. You know, we had a great three-point shot when we were down three, and we turn it down and dribble in and lose the ball. Those plays, those are just decisions that you hope you don't make.
Rick, when another team's making a run, does the makeup of your team determine whether or not you would call a timeout?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's no doubt, you know. But you can call timeouts, but when you come out of timeouts, you don't execute it. What does it matter, you know? And I just know this time of year, at any level of basketball, if you don't, you got to have tough, hard-nosed season guard play. You've got to have it because that's what it's going to get down to, and you've got to have it. I mean, and you're going to have guards that are going to have to make plays. They're going to have to do some things, and they're going to have to handle the ball correctly. They're going to have to make right decisions. They're going to have to get your team organized. They're going to have to – you come out of timeout knowing exactly what you're doing. It's up to guards to do that, and we've just been so inconsistent there.
Rick, you talked after the game about Jordan Bowden's mindset going in and just the way he carried himself. Why do you think it was different Saturday, and how do you get him to duplicate that now?
Well, again, that's the answer. You know, the one thing you got to give him credit for all year long, he has played hard defensively. And I don't think there's any question, and we talked about it a lot, that he's pressed at times trying to score the ball as opposed to just playing and let it happen. But, you know, we talked about the things that we needed at this point, and he was the one guy that did it. I mean, I thought Eve played really hard. I mean, the first half because of Fulke getting in foul trouble and, again, the inconsistency of Olivier and Uroš, you know, at that point in time, Eve carried us pretty much in the first half to a point where he was, you know, really, you play that many minutes and doing what he has to do. And so, you know, Fulke's fouling, and some of that comes back to get you late in the game. I think Jordan – I mean, he knows what he has to do, and he played, I think, by far his best all-around game that he's played all year long. But like I said, he's been good defensively all year, and we need some other guys. I wish I could say that about other guys right now, which I can't.
Rick, Josiah had the big turnover at the end. I just want, what was your message to him after the game, and what was his mindset like after that play?
Well, it's been the same thing. You can't turn the ball over in those situations. I mean, he turned down a shot. I mean, that was we've asked him all year not to over dribble the ball. You think about the times he got himself in trouble one time, or put himself in a bad situation, just dribbling the ball for no reason at all. And right there, he's worked too hard at shooting the ball. I mean, in that situation, we would have taken a two or a three. But when you get that, I mean, I was shocked that he was that wide open. I mean, I was shocked. But it goes back to what we've told him all year, that he continues to turn down shots to get him, and he gets himself in trouble where he shouldn't. He just shoot the ball. I mean, it's pretty simple because he's worked hard at it. And we would have been fine if he had missed that shot because, again, we were shocked that he was that open in the corner.
outside of turning down shots, what else goes into these turnovers when it's the numbers are as high as they are in some of these games?
Well, sometimes referees can make calls that aren't there. Call traveling when it's not traveling. They can, you know, block charge when it could have gone the other way. Guys, going to look for trouble like we talked about. There's a lot of things that go into it. It goes back to decisions, whether it's players' decisions or referees' decisions. There's a lot of things that go into turnovers. I don't think referees are the reason you turn the ball over 25 times, but some of their decisions can lead to guys having to go in the game that where you wish other guys were in there, and some of those turnovers occur. But ours are occurring with guys that are playing a lot of minutes. Santi's played a lot of minutes, but I can tell you he had two turnovers. How many did he have the other day? He had three. Should have been charged with three. Two of them had nothing to do with. Josiah's had how many? So, again, all six of his were turnovers. So it goes back to you got to make good decisions. And by this time of year, all the guys that are really – Folke's turnovers shouldn't – again, he's had too many turnovers. I mean, think about it. He stumbling out of bounds, doesn't get his balance, those kind of turnovers. Those are ones that you can't have. It's plain – you just can't have those type turnovers. But it's been a problem. I go back to the game. I can go back all the way to Florida State where we turned the ball over and kept ourselves in the game because of our defense. But it's just been the fact that our guard play, and again, it gets back to, again, post guys sometimes can. I get that in their traffic. But some of the ones that we make, you just can't make. And it just gets down to simple understanding that. That's the tough stuff I'm talking about where you got to have tough, hard-nosed guard play this time of year or are you going to struggle?
Rick, you mentioned some of the injuries he's dealt with, but big picture, how would you assess Josiah's first season here?
He's had a tough year. I mean, he's been hurt all year long, and when you're in and out of the lineup, and he wasn't feeling great. He didn't play. He didn't practice the day before, but at this time of year, we have the confidence, obviously, that we think that he can still fight through that because. It's not like we're doing as much as we were in practice. It's a matter of the mindset, it's been a tough year for him, and he's done. We've seen him grow in some areas, and then we've seen him take a step backwards. But we know what he can be. But the biggest thing he's going to have to do now is get himself back to playing as hard as he possibly can, and get lost in the game that way. And I think once he understands that consistently, he'll figure it out.
Rick, how disheartening is it to still have a team struggling to close out games this late in the season? And is there anything other than just being in those games that you can do to fix that this late in the season?
Well, I would tell you this. I told Clark Kellogg this. If we had this group from the very beginning and no injuries would happen, we'd be way ahead. But that's not the way it's played out this year. Santi's been here. Josiah's been in and out. We haven't had any consistency there. So I know that has a little bit to do with it, even though – you get frustrated with it. You don't want to admit it. Coaches don't want it. Like when I go into the team today with them and we watch tape, I'm not going to say that to them. I mean, I know it. We know that. I've been doing it too long not to know that because we still expect them to figure this out right now. And is it frustrating? I think our guys would probably be frustrated with it too because they made good effort to put themselves in position. But the fact that we haven't finished in some of these games that we should have, it's frustrating. But the one thing I will give these guys is that they've continued to work hard and continue to play hard. Do we have some guys that need to play harder? Absolutely. But I've seen some progress with some guys that we're pleased with, and obviously we're pleased with that Jordan Bowden finally came back, and I hope he can continue that going down the stretch. But I could sit here and go through the whole year and tell you it's pretty amazing that we've been able to even put ourselves in some of these games from the beginning. But when you're there and when you can't finish it, it's tough. It's frustrating.
Rick, is there a concern about this team that the Auburn loss might have a lingering effect?
Jimmy, we've lost how many games now? I will be shocked because these guys, we're getting ready to go play Arkansas, another team that's got their leading scorer back. So, it's not like anything's a given in this league. I mean, you're going to have to earn it. And if we play hard enough to earn it, we will. We don't, we won't. And then I don't know. Do I think these guys will hold on to that? If I would have thought that of any game, it would have been South Carolina, because we really did control that game. And late into the game, you know, when we were up at Auburn, it was a lot of time left, which, you know, and they had the ability to come back, which South Carolina does too, but the way South Carolina did it. So to answer your question, I'd be shocked if that happened.
You mentioned Arkansas getting Joe back. Just how does that change their dynamic? Look like you give him a boost on
Saturday.
It
spreads the floor because he's going to shoot it deep, and he's got great range, and they have given him the ultimate green light to get shots, and they work to get him shots, and so there will be a different team there than they were here.
Obviously, they did get Joe back, and they've got Jones, but how much is Adriel Bailey in the way he's shot from three lately, now that they've got three guys really shooting well?
Well, they do, and again, you go back, they were arguably the hottest team in our league at the start of the year, and they hit some slides like everybody can, but they've continued. When guys go out, other guys get to develop, then they come back in, they got to mesh together, but we know they're going to shoot a lot of threes, and we expect it, and we've got to be ready to defend the three-point line.
Can you define what a Euro step is?
Well, you can't take two steps. You can't take, you get a layup 1.5 steps, and on that, and so you can sidestep with it, but when that fourth foot comes down, it's a travel. But you can sidestep, and with the same, 1.5 steps that you have there, but when that pivot foot that you take off with really comes back down, that's when it's a travel. So I don't know if that gives you – maybe I'll put together a tape for you and show it to you. You probably could understand it better. No, I don't. First of all, if referees called traveling every time in the game, that would stop the action a lot. There's a lot of traveling that goes on that doesn't get called. And, again, I go back to Coach Knight. That was his big thing. He used to talk all the time about traveling, how he thinks this – gives players a more of an advantage than anything, and he's right. If you get by with traveling a little bit here or there, it can help you. But it's a hard, with all the speed of the game, it's a hard thing to pick up all the time.
Just when you went back and watched the film, what was Fulkerson's problem there in the second half? Was it foul trouble kind of in the first half throwing him off his game?
I can't tell you. He came in the game, and he started out like he was going to try to do everything himself, and we had played fine with him. He got it, tried to drive the ball through a turnover. There was no play there at all. But he broke out of the offense, and he tried to go do something where, again, he went looking for trouble, or he didn't. He broke out of the offense, and he found trouble. And then he tried to throw a pass. And physically, I didn't think that he worked as hard as he needed to get his positioning. And if you're playing against John Fulkerson, you're going to get physical with him. You are. And so we try to do different things to get him out in space and let him do that. But he's got to do that. He wasn't rolling hard to the rim like he has. So when I look at what he did, his lack of production was based on his lack of execution of what he was supposed to be doing.
What is the scouting report on Arkansas? What are your thoughts on that team?
Well, again, we know we're going to have to defend them at all three levels when you think about it. But we're going to have to be locked in with our transition defense, got to be locked into personnel, going to have to rebound. But, again, if we don't take care of the ball, again, we're going to have those same issues. I mean, they're going to come up again at some point in time. I don't care if you got a lead, you're playing from behind, you expect the other team to make a push, you expect to see momentum change here or there. We've got to take care of the ball during those parts of the game where we are – not just going to give the ball you got to execute and take care of the ball.
Coach, you've talked a lot about Biscovi and what he's meant for you guys. Could you have ever envisioned that he'd be this big of a piece of the puzzle, that he'd be this important to you at this point in the season?
No, that's why I went to the earlier question. I would have liked to have him at the beginning of the year. I think he'd have been an even bigger piece of the puzzle. But for what he's done, Do I coach him hard now? I do. Do I treat him as if he's been here all year? I do. And his fourth foul was about as dumb a play as you can make. And we told him, even when he had to charge, I said, look, they're going to try to pick up charges on you. You got to play off 2 feet. But he is competitive. He does give us a guy that drives the ball hard, along with Jordan Bowden. But he drives it with a purpose and can make a play when he does drive it. But for what he's done, I mean, again, it's I don't know where we would be without him. I don't, because what he's been able to pick up and the things that he's done, and he's having to learn it on the fly. I mean, it's like be like an NBA guy being called up from the G League to the big leagues and saying, now you got to play here and against these guys who've been doing it all year with 3 months head start, and you got to figure this out. And he's kind of done that. He's had to figure it out on the fly.
Do you think Eve Pons is one of the best defensive players in the SEC?
I do. He does a lot of things, and I can't imagine there's a better shot blocker his height in the country. I don't know where he's on blocking shots. Where's he? Has he blocked as many shots as Kyle blocked yet?
He's already passed.
Think about it. I mean, with his size, he's passed Kyle. Again, he's a great fix-it guy, as well as, again, you know, he does defend the ball. He works hard at doing his job. But all those blocks are fix-it plays where he's come over and had to cover up for his teammates' mistakes, and he probably has done that for us as well as anybody since we've been here.
In your opinion, is Bullhorn Arena a tougher place to play than any other road environment, or it's just kind of business as usual?
What are you at? It's a great place to play. I would have told you up until a year ago when we went to Rupp, when it was really loud, when we were up there. I think we were ranked one. Was it last year? Yeah. Bud Walton Arena the year before was as loud as any place we'd been since I've been in the SEC. And it's definitely a great atmosphere, and they love their team, and when they're playing well, it's a loud building.